All right, welcome to another podcast of BibleTruthOnline.com, and tonight we are continuing on with our Hebrews Bible study series, and we will be running through chapters 3. So, chapter 3, it would be good to run through the story, and we will comment at the end. Chapter 3 begins, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end."
This right here is talking about faith, and it's talking about faith in Jesus. Right here, this whole church, this whole building, this whole thing is built by Jesus and nobody else.
That's a strong point, because here is a book of Hebrews, it's not Genesis, confirming who's the creator of the world, who builds this house, correct?
Yeah, you know what's funny too, because it turns around and goes, consider the apostle. Jesus is an apostle? Okay, he's the high priest from the order of Melchizedek. Mm-hmm. Okay? He was faithful to him who appointed him. That would be talking about God the Father. But notice this house here, it says it's the house of Jesus.
Right.
Okay? It's not the house of God, it's the house of Jesus.
And it's not the house of Moses.
It's not the house of God.
Right.
Because it says, watch this. "For every house is built by someone, but he has who built all things is God." Who built this house? Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. Who built all things? God. Who built this house? Jesus. Look at it again.
Right.
This may be one of the few times where it actually references Jesus as God in these verses.
Right. What do you think about the verse 6, "But Christ is his son over his own house"? Right.
Right. He, see?
"Whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." That's really what faith is about, isn't it? Summed up in one verse.
Yeah.
Holding fast.
With
through the rejoicing, we rejoice in the hope of eternal life, but holding fast to confidence all the way to the end of your life.
Well, even before you get all the way to the end of your life, what is this confidence? This confidence right here, because it's going to come up later. This confidence we have in Jesus is what? We've sinned, we've been saved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Are we confident of that? Do we rejoice over that fact? And do we plan on being confident and rejoicing of that fact to the end?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, strong points.
I think these first six verses, too, he's setting up the scenario of the two houses. You know, you see the house with Moses and the house of Christ, which is the church.
Right.
Just a little practical point here. He's setting up, he's about to show you a comparison between two different people. You know, the next end of this chapter and in chapter 4.
Right.
So that's just, I'm just throwing that in there,
yeah,
as a comment.
I see.
And you know what else he's doing here is he's taking an old story, an Old Testament story, and he's showing you all the way back then what God was going to be talking about right now. Those people served a purpose to set up an example for what was coming here.
And the Jews were very familiar with the story. But Jewish Christians may not have looked at it the way Paul is about to show you here.
Yeah, everybody knows the story.
Yeah.
But now they're going to watch it being lived out.
He's showing you the meaning.
Watch it going to be lived out in their lives, right here, right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's continue on with verse 7. And shortly they'll be quoting Psalm chapter 95, verses 7 through 11 here. It starts off verse 7. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, quote, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
It's a good... Let's stop there just for a second. There's some powerful... This is from the Psalms, mm-hmm. Psalm 95. And it's interesting here we have it in the New Testament. For one, they're talking about the rebellion. Rebellion being?
Korah's rebellion.
Egypt.
Well, Korah's rebellion is where Korah turns around and says, no, no, this is not where we want to go. Let's go back to Egypt.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, again, Old Testament, but still it's pertinent here. Angry with that generation.
Why angry? What did they do? Is they just got saved, okay? They knew they were slaves. They just got saved, and now they want to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they didn't want to go into the rest.
And talking about a psalm, I mean, in the story that hopefully we know, this is the Moses, Egypt, Korah's rebellion scenario, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to say that God is unjustly angry with this generation? Or did they push him to a point after time and time again of forgiveness to where he got angry? This is where some people say, well, the Bible, see how negative it is, because... Look, God's saying he's angry and that he's swore his wrath and they shall not enter rest. But let's look at the story on what those people did to get God to that point.
Well, let's look at what they did. They prayed to come out of slavery from Egypt.
Right.
Okay? God took them out of the slavery. And now they don't want to go any farther?
Right.
Okay? Now they want to go back into the slavery. They're asking God to do something, and then when he does it, they're telling him, don't do it.
Yeah, I think it's, what I kind of see too, they're pushing him the whole way through the desert. When they finally get there, they want to go back. God punishes them, but rightfully so, because they can't go back.
Right.
Okay, for symbolic purposes today, for the church today, there's purposes there, but... You can't go back into slavery after he's purchased you out.
Right.
He won't allow it. So either you enter or you die there in your rebellion.
Yeah.
And then your fate's in the hand of God after that, you know.
Well, you know, there's another verse, too, where it says, once you've heard the message, once it's all been there put to you, what more can be done? If you walk away now, what more can be done? Once you've come to this knowledge and you walk away, what else can be done?
And it's like the paper we wrote, his ways are not our ways.
Yeah.
And we have that sentence here, and they have not known my ways. Well, God's ways are not our ways. He's not obligated to pick us up out of our condition and just save us for ungranted reasons. No, we don't have any faith in... Some people think like this, you know, if there is a God, then he should just save us right now and bring me right to heaven. And I think I've gone through that in early childhood or, you know, my earlier years thinking like that. Mm-hmm. You know, why work for it? I mean, isn't that the story of life? You have to work hard to get places. And I think faith's the same way. But it's his ways. It's not the way I'm going to come to Christ when I want to. He sets it in front of me.
You know, this.
And it's my effort to come to him. This whole scenario of why he came, died, these are his ways. It's up to me to come and understand it, and he'll show me.
You know what? I've just now started to look at it a different way. Mm-hmm. How did we get in this mess? We got in this mess because Adam and Eve believed Satan. Okay?
Right.
And now Jesus, God, is turn around and putting him back going, my ways, your ways. We already know what your ways are because you listen to Satan.
Right.
Okay? If you now, you're sorry about that, then listen to my ways.
Yeah.
And it's not too many churches start off at a certain point and move forward and stuff from that. You got to go back. You got to listen to what he is really saying.
Right.
Okay? And it's just like in all of this. Notice we're not going from this is Hebrews, New Testament. And the story of Hebrews, New Testament, is it from Matthew up? No, we drop right back into the Old Testament.
Right.
The Old Testament has the stories that make the New Testament make sense.
Right.
I want to comment on what you said earlier. You said something about hearing the truth and then not accepting it. You got to make your choice from there. And that's what Hebrews talks about later when he says sinning against the knowledge of truth. And it's like, once he's shown you, it's like you can either walk into that rest, or you can sin against it and say, no, God, you're wrong. I'm going to do it my way, not your way.
Yeah.
I think that's where that point comes. You hear the truth, and choosing your way instead of his is sinning against that knowledge.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier, we were just having a general topic. We were talking about that wilderness story again. Remember, these people are under a cloud. It's scorching hot. They're under a cloud of protection. They're now ready to go into a land of rest. Okay? But these people don't want to just not go into the land of rest. They want to go back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. Is God going to go back to Egypt with them? No. Is that cloud going to go back with them? No.
No.
They're going to step out of that cloud. They're going to die.
Yeah. That's why they have to stay with Moses in the desert, because...
You can step... Like we were talking. You can step out of God's way. You can die, too.
You're going to fry.
Yeah.
And if you don't fry that day, you'll freeze that night.
Yeah. And you know what? Even if you go on and have a real good life,
right.
So what? This lifetime is so short.
Yeah.
You know? It's cold down there. It's hot down there. You're going to burn by day. You're going to freeze by night. You're just not there. You just don't have that protection. Yeah. You either have God's protection or you don't.
Yeah. So, let's pick up at verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
See, this is the point.
That's a good point right there, yeah.
Do you want to go into the rest? I have the cloud here. I've taken you this far. Do you want to go into the land of rest? Okay? Right now, we're standing under the cloud of protection.
Yeah.
Okay? But no, you guys want to go back.
Right.
You want... An evil heart wants to depart from the living God.
Yeah. Yeah. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Quickly, we talk about that. Exhort, uplift, right? Uplift one another daily, while it is called today. Good point.
Right now.
You have today. Right?
You know, we've all sinned in the
day
past.
You have that slogan, you know, day by day you hear, well, today is now, it's not in the future, and it's not in the past. You got now, this period right here.
You have the future for your plans.
Right.
You have the past for what you did, but the only thing of action is today.
Yeah.
Okay. Future is planning. Past is gone. Today, what are you going to do? What are you becoming?
Yeah, it's a good sermon topic. When are you going to come to Christ? When are you going to figure out if the gospel message is true or not for yourself? When are you going to actually open up the Bible? We got today. Yeah. You have today to do that right now. You have today to come to Christ. You have today to go in the closet where no one knows anything that you're about to do and pray to him to see if he answers you or not. You can do that now, today.
And I think
that's my little sermon point.
I think the most basic comment there, too, is... We need every day.
Yeah.
We need every day to get that exhortation.
It's not every day, though. It's today.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not every day because today if you hear his voice, today if you're thinking about it, you can do it.
Yeah.
Okay? Tomorrow, you may
be hardened.
Have an evil heart
right.
And depart from the living God.
Yeah.
You may get tied up in some other project. Okay? And God's still waiting there going, are you going to talk to me? And you're like, I'm busy. I'm this. And pretty soon, you just don't hear him anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? And God, you never said anything to me. Well, you did back when I was, you know, back when I was in 20 years old. And he goes, well, I waited right there for you.
Yeah.
Okay? That was today.
Yeah.
It's long past now. If you don't do it today, there, you know, what do you got?
Yeah.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
You know, most Christians... Most true Christians, the one regret they have in their life, this is what I'm finding out over and over and over again. The biggest regret I have in my life is I didn't start earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not that when I became a Christian, my life was totally terrible. It was all downtrodden. That's not what I say. Yeah. What I say is, and I started fairly young, I wish it was younger. I wish I had more. If I lived to be 100, only with him. Okay, well, no, if I lived to be 100, I could have more of this life. I don't want this life. Right. More with him is what makes life worth living.
Yeah. I agree. We've all said that, yeah. We're trying to strive to have more time to do this very thing we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Because that's what life is about. You know, that's the meaning of life right here, where I get the most enjoyment. Fishing may be nice. This is a lot better.
You know, fishing would be nice if we could all sit around and talk more like this. Okay, you know, that's fine.
Let's pick up at verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, similar to the previous verse. While it is said, and we're going to quote now Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion.
See, this is the point. We were all sinners. If we come to the knowledge of Christ, we have been saved. Mm-hmm. And if we've been saved, why do we then want to go back to Egypt? Why do we want to go back to slavery? If we were brought up in the church and we heard all these churchianity things about it, and then we come to Christ, why do you want to go back to all these rules and regulations,
right,
these traditions? The traditions of Korah's rebellion is shown again here in the New Testament. There is your ways, but there is God's ways too. He's showing you this is what they did. They made up their own stories on it, but here it is again. Can you see it this time?
Yeah, I agree.
Just go back to where you started in verse 14, because there might be questions about it later that people might have. That phrase, beginning of our confidence, do you guys have any comments on that?
Well, it's where you come to Christ.
Yeah.
It's where you first go. When you're first coming to Christ, and for the first time, you're listening and you want to hear the next word.
Yeah.
Well, if you have no confidence, you don't want to hear the next word. It's always been a gong. Now all of a sudden it's like, keep going. And when the person next to you talks, you're like, shut up, I'm busy. Okay, you intently want to hear what this is.
And that's what it is, the intent to want to hear. That's a good phrase, because I had that in the beginning when I first knew I became a Christian, when it started to click.
Yeah.
Called myself a Christian for many years. Couldn't answer the fact who Christ was and why he had to come and die. We used to talk about questions and answers like that.
Yeah.
Started to click. I wanted to hear more. To this day, these many years later, I still have that same want. It gets stronger because this is what I enjoy the most out of life.
Because you've held fast to it.
I've held fast, yeah.
You've held fast.
Well, you know, the funny
I don't
part
know what will happen in the end, but I don't have any plans on stopping.
Changing anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's the funny part, because when you hear these Christian debates about this and about that and about that, man, you can put me to sleep pretty quick. But when you start talking about what is real,
yeah,
okay, what is really real, okay, you intently want to go. It's like, right, don't stop talking.
Yeah.
Don't give me half a sentence and go away.
Yeah.
No, sit down, shut up, let's go. Yeah. Let's get to this. This other conversation you hear coming out of a lot of these churches and stuff is like, you know what? People walk out of your sermon and they don't, before they get to the car, they have no idea what you said.
Yeah.
Well, that's the exact point. Truth sounds different.
Yes.
It does.
Truth sounds and it's, if you haven't heard it, you don't know that. You know, I thought everything I had heard in every sermon that, okay, that's true. I mean, it's a preacher. They're talking,
right,
they're reading the Bible. It's truth.
Right.
But mainly before coming to this group, no. I never heard one lick of truth.
Yeah.
Once you start hearing truth, You can't.
And the main thing is too is go out there and test it.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're not just a sponge, and everyone talking. Oh, okay, that's truth because you said it and you said it, so it must be right. You got to think about it too. It takes effort on your part. Similar to what we were talking about back here too.
Yeah.
That faith is not easy. It just isn't. You're not just chosen. You're saved. And faith takes some work, and it comes into finding the truth for yourself.
You know, it takes
that's a good
point. Yeah. It takes listening intently.
Yeah.
It takes putting it inside of you and working through it.
And asking him.
Move it a little bit to the right. Move it a little bit to the left.
You're
kind of getting used, like a new pair of shoes.
Right.
You got to get used to it. You got to find out, okay, what is this really? Okay. So now you're going through it and then, partakers, walking with those shoes. You gotta,
right.
You gotta walk
it's
in.
It's not partaking of the Eucharist, little wafer.
Yeah, it's
I'm
got
sorry,
to do with
but
that.
There's a sermon I'm sure has been talked about on verse 14. Yeah. We're not talking about I gotta partake a piece of Christ out and put him in a wafer. There's a different meaning for a partaker of Christ when
yeah.
you walk with
well,
him.
Well, let's look at what this thing says right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
For we have become partakers of Christ. Okay, we take a wafer, we do this, we do that. No, no, no. If we hold the beginning of our confidence, got nothing to do with eating, steadfast,
right.
Hold the beginning of our confidence. Nobody came to Christ by eating a wafer to start off with. Okay, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
Okay, to the end.
Yeah.
Nobody starts with the wafer. Somebody who is with the wafer never started. Okay, it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Well, I just said, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts.
Yeah.
It doesn't say eat this, do that, drink this, be good, don't be good. Notice none of these churchianity things, none of these things come up here.
And know that I've done both. I've partaken in the Eucharist.
Yeah, man.
And I also partaken in remembrance. And there's a reason why I've come questioning things, right? Not accepting everything. I do not see anything in God's Word, nor have ever had the experience in my heart. Let God be his witness. Why I was up there taking the Eucharist. That was not my experience.
One more point here. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. And we haven't talked about... We picked on the wafers, so let's...
Yeah.
Got the wafers. Okay. You hear tithing? I don't hear tithing here.
Right.
Okay. Do you hear being good? Do you hear following the Ten Commandments? Do you hear abortion?
Right.
Do you hear any of these things in here? And yet we're talking about partakers of Christ being steadfast to the end. Let's go back to where Jesus says you must be reborn.
Yeah.
Okay. One of these things is what the man has always been trying to do before he is reborn. But once you're reborn, notice how we're on a completely different subject here.
Right.
All these things beforehand of being good, doing this, following rules, following regulations, following traditions, I don't hear a tradition in here.
Yeah.
The only tradition in here is people rebelling at what Christ said. People rebelling at what God said. And God's saying, don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. The traditions and all this, all these man-made rules, none of them are here.
Yeah.
And we're talking about from the beginning to the end of what God wants.
Yeah.
And they're not in there.
Yeah.
There's none of these things are in there.
It's like you get a new set of rules when you're reborn.
You know what?
Forget all these old rules. Throw them away. You don't need them anymore.
You know what it is? It's not even a new set of rules because everything in the Old Testament, the whole Korah's rebellion story here, the wilderness story, is for the New Testament.
Right.
It's like what you didn't get the first time in the story that you made up your own traditions on. The story's true. Your traditions are not.
Let's bring it back to abortion. If you've been reborn, are you going to have an abortion?
You would never even think about it.
That's all I got to say. Now, let the other listeners say, oh, they said something about the Ten Commandments. They don't follow the Ten Commandments. That's all my point.
Oh, do
take the same comment that we just made about abortion. Figure it out. All right, let's move on.
You know, I love your other part about the Ten Commandments, though. It's a little off subject, but let's do it anyway. The people who believe in, like, evolution or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, God can work with evolution.
Right.
Okay, and what's that one commandment?
Sorry, God created the world, the earth in 6 days. Can't use that, so you're down to 9 commandments. Less time in the confessional.
Yeah.
You know,
I got one less commandment to worry about because that can't be true because we know that God didn't create it in 6 days. So that's a lie.
Exodus 20:11.
Yeah.
I think it is.
It says Moses wrote those 10 commandments for his people.
There goes 5 books.
Well, we know it's a lie that he got it from God on the mountain. So he's a liar because he's a fable teller. Because how could he be telling us that God created a world in 6 days when it's obviously evolved millions of years? This is all just a bunch of lies.
So Exodus is a lie.
Exodus
is a lie.
That's right.
The law's a lie.
Evolution is truth. Moses is a liar. The commandments are a lie. Because if one can be a lie, what about the rest of them?
Yeah.
Thou shalt not lie. That sure took out that one. It takes out the rest of them. Because if you can lie, then none of them have to be right.
Yeah,
the fact that God was leading them was a lie.
Yeah, it's all a lie.
It's all a lie.
Forget, just throw out the book.
Moses
just wrote the book. Give me a science text.
Well, Moses
right
wrote
now.
5 books, and if he's a liar, we got to take out those 5 books.
And if the writer of Hebrews is talking about Moses here,
you got to throw out Hebrews.
And Jesus talked about him too. Jesus is a liar. Jesus talked about Moses.
Yeah, so, I mean, see?
Oh, just like that one council, I won't get into it, but one council went through what verifiable verses are in the Bible, and Gene Scott did this, and it came out to be one. I mean, it's just, go ahead and nitpick all you want, just like in the Korah's Rebellion. You know?
Yeah.
Move away from the protective cloud, and you find out what happens and try to tell me later, because I ain't doing it. just do it. Tell me. If you survive, so be it. If not, oh well, you know? You made the decision.
You go ahead and walk out there, and it's like, hey, let me know.
Yeah, yeah.
You bring me back ice water.
I went through all this schooling with evolution science classes and all. You think I'm an idiot? My dad was a scientist. You think I'm just sitting here blindly? Like I said, a sponge, just saying, oh, yeah, evolution makes sense. I question everything. And we all have very valid points to why this is a put-together theory. We ain't going to go off on it right now. But, you know, the Psalms we're reading are lies if we go back to that, the commandment that says about creation in 6 days. Because Moses is a liar.
See, this is
really all Moses talk is, I'm getting tired of it because he's a liar. That's all I'm getting at.
This is really more, I'm not talking about evolution in that. What I'm talking about is, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion.
Yeah. Isn't that a rebellion?
This is exactly what this made-up conversation we just had. That's what it was.
And still,
God has said this.
Is it today?
Yeah. Oh, it's more today. It's more today. Yeah. This is worse than Korah's rebellion.
Right.
Okay, it's just like, not only, look, we believe Satan. But right. We're going to show Satan where he was even wrong, and we're going to show even better how we can mess this up. It's crazy.
That's where I see the rebellion like that, yeah.
I think what these two verses, what popped out at me is if you don't exalt yourself and you become hard and you don't hang on to that confidence, you cannot partake of what Christ is doing, his work today. You cannot be involved in what he, maybe tomorrow if you do it, but you can't do it today. You know?
Yeah. If your heart hardens, you die, you don't even get to tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm saying you can't partake of what Christ is doing if you're hardened today.
Well, it's like you said, you might be able to get there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I tell you something, if you're walking down God's path, and you know what, I don't want to be on God's path today, I'm going to walk 2 weeks out into the wilderness.
Yeah.
Well, I got news for you. You want to get back on God's path, it's going to take you 2 weeks to get back.
Yeah.
Okay? It's going to burn you on the way out, and after you get sunburned, it burns harder after you're sunburned than before you're sunburned. Yeah. So 2 weeks out there and you realize you're sunburned, you got to walk 2 weeks back sunburned.
God is on the
move. To get back to where, not 2 weeks farther down the road, to get back to where you were. And whatever problem you ran away from, it's always there waiting for you.
You better pray that he hasn't moved forward.
Yeah.
You know, God.
But then you're going to have to run to catch up.
God's going somewhere, you know. You can walk away. You can lose your confidence, but you've got to get back. You've got to get back on track.
And you know what? The thing is you're not going to get back on track somewhere up that ladder.
Yeah.
You've got to come back to that same spot you were. You got to re-go through whatever issues those are. You don't skip God's lessons. Yeah. Look at Jonah.
Yeah.
He ran away. But what did he end up doing in the end? He had to go back exactly to where he was. He had to do exactly what he ran away from. Mm-hmm. Okay? You're on this. Yeah. This path goes one direction.
Right.
And you can't enter it from the other sides. Right. Go ahead and run. If you're lucky enough to come back, you're going to have to come back to that same spot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to climb over this wall. You go out into the wilderness, and when you come back, you know what? That wall's still right in front of you.
Yeah. Right.
You're either going to learn God's lesson now or later. It might as well be today. It might as well be now.
Some of where we've been so far, it's just pretty simple. We've sinned. God came through and saved us. That's where we're becoming partakers of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Don't harden your heart. Don't go back.
Yeah.
Don't go back into Egypt. Don't get away from the cloud. Keep going in the direction where you're communicating with him. You're reborn. You only have a spirit to work with.
Right.
Okay? You go back into man's ways. Well, if you're born of the spirit, that's not going to help you anyway.
Right.
A saved person really doesn't work too well in the world anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't serve both.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you are saved and you think that the world's going to love you, you're crazy. Okay?
Well, yeah, the crazy part, though, is that not only are you telling God that I don't want to go into the rest, but you're telling God I want to go back, and you can't go back. Not that you are saved because you were bought out of slavery. You are saved when you enter that rest. But you can't undo Christ purchasing you out of sin.
No, well, when you do, you walk away from that protective cloud.
Yeah.
And you a nice Christian person away from that cloud, man, you're going to get attacked.
Yeah.
You're going to get knocked down. You're going to get stomped on.
Yeah.
And the world's going to take you back with open arms? Yeah. No.
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 And I think the last four verses are kind of fitting as an ending here. And we'll start with verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest?
Right there, the ones who walked away from this path.
But to those who did not obey.
Exactly.
So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Unbelief.
And what happened to them? They lived out the rest of their life to death.
Right.
Okay?
The same thing is true today. The only sin not paid for on the cross is unbelief.
Yeah.
And that's what all sin comes down to. You sin because you exchange God's truth, what God told you, for a lie.
Yeah.
And that unbelief...
Well, stop there. What is that? Where did they exchange the truth for a lie?
In the garden.
Right back there in the Garden of Eden.
Exactly.
My ways, your ways. Well, your ways are Satan's ways, and my ways are my ways.
Well, it's not fair question. Not my question. But let's say, hypothetical question. It's not fair that I was born... I believe innocent, and I'm paying for this lie of Adam and Eve.
That's why God turns around and gives you the Ten Commandments, going, you know what? Take your best shot. Here's 10. Tell you what, you don't miss one of these, you'll live forever.
Okay, well, I missed one. That would.
You die.
You're dead.
Well, that's not fair either.
If you live by those Ten Commandments, you live by the blessings of them.
Yeah.
And you also live by the curses of them.
Well, I don't want any of this. How do I stop all this?
You come to Christ.
Okay.
The point is you've sinned.
Yeah.
Okay? And now that you've sinned, you're going to die.
There's a process in there. It's realization.
You believe God.
It's a bit of anger or, you know, I don't know what the feeling is. Is it anger that why do I have to suffer for someone's sin? Who knows if they even lived. Most people can't even get to that point. No one can prove they lived. Why should I pay for this sin? I was born into this world innocent. You're telling me I'm not innocent. And then I sinned on top of that. That's the anger. Then you get to the point of, okay, well, maybe I did sin. You know, it's that realization, right?
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to repent. And then you find the truth, the promise of how that sin's paid. Mm-hmm. And you start turning towards Christ. There's a lot of steps in there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of steps that life can bend and break you to get to that point, which is in His hands to begin with.
But imagine
turning your back for that, like we were saying.
But you know, most people
don't get to that. That's
not how most people really come to Christianity. That's how it starts. Some of these things play in their
mind. I'm summarizing, but I've heard it before.
Right. But if we hold fast to the... we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence, that intently looking for, all of a sudden we find Christ, and we intently look for Him. Okay, and He shows us, okay, this is where you stand, this is where you do that, this is where you do that, and you're already at that point going, okay, I did all of that, now what? You get to the point of, I'm intently looking at Him, and now what?
Right.
Because all of a sudden it clicks, it's like, I can't do this anymore.
But that's your
this point. Isn't working.
Sure. Before you can do all that, though, I think the first step, the very first thing is turning from your unbelief and believing what God
says.
That's
what I was about to read. Say there's a turning point.
Believing that you're a sinner.
Yeah.
You have to believe that you're a sinner.
Right.
Believe what God said is true, that there is a way to salvation. And believe what He did and what He said.
Yeah, I think you just realize you're a sinner, and all of a sudden, when you realize you're a sinner...
You want a way out of it.
I still believe
it.
You
want a way out of it.
Yeah. You want a way out. And what's the way out of it? Who's going to punish you for sin?
God.
And where do you turn?
To God.
You turn to God. And it's like, okay, now you have my attention. Now I'm intently going to start searching.
Yeah. But there are people out there.
Well, don't talk. I want to hear. Yeah. See, this is what I'm talking about, that intently searching. Okay, you're telling me stories. You're doing this. That's where you start picking up the Bible going, okay, I want to know. And you don't want anybody else interrupting you. It's like, I want to know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Christ steps in.
Yeah.
Christ steps in. And now that he's done all this and you're starting to get confidence back, okay, your confidence that you're going to be steadfast in this, of the beginning part of it, that's the message. Don't turn back.
Hang on a bit.
Yeah, don't go back to, I've been good, I wish I could. You're not doing any of that stuff. You're intently listening right there at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
If you've come to Christ, you know what that beginning was like. It changed everything.
The Israelites who went into the desert probably had a beginning confidence after they passed through that water. You know, Moses raises the water up. They pass through. They see all the chariots get crushed underneath as they pass through.
Started with blood on the door.
Yeah, that's true. That started with some confidence. See those plagues.
And then the next one, the plagues.
And then the water.
Walking through the water.
At some point, they lost their confidence.
Yep. And on a personal level, it really boils down to, and I've been able to talk to people about this and have an honest answer, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Messiah and why? That question was asked to me. If you honestly, inside, want to be truthful with someone and say, I don't know what I believe because I don't understand it, you're at that unbelief point, but at least you're starting to wonder what it's about. You know?
Yeah.
There's a turning point in there where you're an unbeliever and become a believer. You're not born into belief. You come to that point. You know? And we all have those stories. I mean, I don't know what the Jews in the wilderness of Moses actually thought, but I know my own experience. It came to a realization that I'm a sinner. I want a way out. I didn't believe at one point in my life and came to faith in another. There was a point in there.
Right, because it gets to the point when you get stuck in something. Okay, I could do this, but now after partaking for so long, it always starts off as like, dear God, here we go. What do you want?
As a prayer,
what are we doing? And you start, your confidence, notice my confidence in, okay, I'm going to run to work right now and ask him for this. It's like, your first confidence is, let's get with God real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's dark in here. I can turn the light. God, help me get to the light. I mean, whatever you want to do, where's your first reaction?
Right.
And more, our first reaction is, God, where are we at? What do you want?
Yeah.
Where are we going?
So to lead into chapter 4, the question asked here is this group, are we part of this rebellion? I absolutely say no.
Right? Absolutely.
So now we're going to go into chapter 4.
I hope not.